Hello everyone, welcome to Monkey Monkey Literature Club, and today's book is Zero World Problems, New Standards of Living for the Post-Materialist Economy by Aaron Clary. So this is a book I've been anxiously anticipating. It finally came out on audiobook. I was given a copy, and I listened to it, and I really enjoyed it. I'm not going to mince words, I'm not going to drag this out unnecessarily. This was a much more philosophical book than I was expecting. I was expecting more of something like The Game of Numbers, you know, an analysis of the economics. But no, this was a very philosophical book. He references my book, A Way of Monkey Book, at one point in the book. He also references Marcus Aurelius and Stoicism, which is very, very interesting. And basically, the purpose of the book and the meaning behind the title is actually really interesting, because people use the phrase, you know, first world problems or something to describe how everybody's obsessed with, you know, overpriced bullshit and, you know, status and trying to impress people. Because most people in third world countries can't afford that. They're trying to like afford basic necessities. But when you live in a first world country, you can waste your money on absolute bullshit to try to impress people. There's a phrase that Dave Ramsey uses that like we go into debt to buy things we don't need to impress people we don't like. And that's the first world problem mentality. So what is the meaning behind zero world problems? Well, it's a combination of eliminating first world problems, that is trying to seek status and approval and validation and trying to impress people. But then it's also to eliminate your problems, you know, zero problems. So it's a combination of both concepts. And it goes into Stoicism and minimalism. It's more of a greatest hits. If you've read his book, you know, Poor Richard's Retirement, or, you know, Reconnaissance Man, and those types of books, it goes into a lot of the same things. He even mentioned this at the beginning of the book, saying that you may already be familiar with some of these concepts. This is kind of a greatest hits. It kind of ties it all together, but it ties it all together under the theme of the philosophical approach of Stoicism and trying to appreciate what you have, let go of what you can't control. And I think, I don't know, Aaron can confirm this or not himself. I think my Way of Monkey book may have influenced this book, because I see a lot of the themes I was talking about in my book reflected in this book. This in no way takes away from this book. So this book, again, it's a very philosophical book, but it avoids like esoteric discussions and more, you know, it's a very practical philosophical book, if that makes sense. In the same way that Meditations, if you're not familiar with the background of Meditations, it was a journal. It wasn't meant to be published. It was Marcus Aurelius's personal journal of things that he wanted to remind himself about. Just very practical advice for him to remind himself. It wasn't meant to be published. It wasn't meant to be this great philosophical treatise on Stoicism. It was his personal journal. It just happens to be a very well-known Stoic piece of literature. And so Zero World Problems is basically, if you've thought about getting into Stoic philosophy or just philosophical endeavors in general, but you didn't really like the theory crafting and the esoteric discussions about concepts like what is truth and what is beauty and where does one find meaning and purpose and what is a good life, if all that stuff just kind of whooshes over your head and you're looking for something more practical, something more like something you can implement in your daily life right now, then this is actually a really good entry point. You know, if you've never really found that philosophy clicked with you, this is a really good entry point, because it's like 80% practical, 20% theory, whereas most philosophical books are either 50-50 or they lean more towards the theory and less into the practicalities. But at the end of the day, philosophy is the art of living. The whole point of philosophy, like these people who get doctorates in philosophy, they know the ins and outs of the history of philosophy. They know the chain of, you know, philosophers, like a, you know, a genealogy, but they don't actually know like how to implement philosophy. They, you know, they don't know how to live, which kind of defeats the whole purpose of philosophy. It's like being a doctor, knowing all about medicine and being morbidly obese and unhealthy. And there's a lot of people who specialize in philosophy, who have degrees in philosophy, and they're like that morbidly obese doctor who knows everything for the test but doesn't implement any of it themselves. And that's a real shame because philosophy should be lived. You know, there's a saying that when it comes to children, they pay attention to half of what you say, but everything you do. You know, they'll follow your example, not what you tell them to do. And the same thing is true of philosophers. You know, if you live the lifestyle, people will notice that more than what you claim and what you preach. And the thing about Aaron, you know, the author of this book, is he is living his life. He's always posting pictures of himself going to like national parks and going out hiking in nature, flipping off the camera. He doesn't give a shit. And that is freedom. And he talks about like these sorts of things. This is also if you enjoyed this book, you might want to also check out How I Found Freedom in an Unfree World by Dan. What's his name? Man, I can't remember his name. Harry Brown, that was his name. I was going to say Dan Brown, but that was the guy who wrote Angels and Demons and those type of books. No, Harry Brown. Anyway, How I Found Freedom in an Unfree World was written in the 70s. But the whole point of that book was even if the world is kind of shit, you can still make decisions in your personal life to maximize your freedom. Because at the end of the day, your life belongs to you. You may not have every opportunity, but you can make the best of what you have. And you need to do that. Like, you have to do that. You don't really have a choice. And you can't just give up on life because everything hasn't fallen perfectly into your lap. Because then you're not going to get anywhere. And then your life is going to be miserable. So, anyway, I'm kind of digressing. The point of this book is it's a very practical... It's not very long, by the way. It's about 9 chapters. They take about 30 to 40 minutes to read per chapter. And that's the longer ones. You probably knock this whole book out in, you know, 4 or 5 hours, just reading it casually. It's not a very long book. This is a really good entry point into Stoic philosophy, minimalism, understanding, taking personal responsibility for your life to maximize your freedom and to live the life you want. Everybody bitches and moans about, you know, how their life isn't perfect. They have a laundry list of people to blame for why their life isn't perfect. But at the end of the day, you're either going to find a way or you're going to find an excuse. Your life's never going to be perfect, but here's the thing. Most of what we spend our time and money on is to try to, like, impress people. If you just cut out all that crap, if you realize, like, you see these memes about these single guys living in a pretty bare-bones apartment, a mattress on the ground, maybe a TV or a computer, a set of weights, and they're like, oh, guys without women would live like this. Yes, because guys, when you're not trying to impress women... You can, like, we have all kinds of stuff. There's ways to live very cheaply in the modern day, but you're not going to impress anyone. The nature of competition and, you know, trying to show off is you have to be better than your competition. And when everybody can afford a decent standard of living, the only way to impress people is to increase your luxury, which costs an exponential amount of more money as time goes on, as more and more people can afford basic necessities and start buying luxuries. It's an arms race. Just leave. You don't need to engage in this arms race. Nobody cares. Nobody gives a shit. And if it's costing you your freedom, if it's costing you your happiness, if you're living a life you don't really like to buy stuff to impress people that you don't really like, you're wasting your life. So take a pay cut, you know, change careers, move, go live your life. Go do what you want to do. It doesn't cost that much money. Once you give up trying to impress people, living life is shockingly cheap, especially in first world countries like America. But you have to start thinking in a different way. Because society pushes you into this consumerist thing. I notice Aaron uses the word materialist a lot. I don't like the word materialist because that also has a scientific definition. Like, it means like things are made of material as opposed to spiritual. And so I try to use like consumerist rather than materialist. Because you can reject consumerism, the need for stuff, while still acknowledging we live in a universe of material as opposed to spiritual essences. But that's another topic for another day. It is what it is. Words are funny like that. Anyway, okay, enough digressing. I highly recommend this book. Again, this is a great entry point into Stoic philosophy, minimalism, or just Aaron Clary in general. If you haven't read any Aaron Clary's earlier books, this is actually a really good on-ramp. It's kind of a greatest hit. It kind of ties a lot of his earlier books together. I'm not going to go out and say this is his magnum opus, but if you've read this book, you've kind of already read some of his earlier books, like Reconnaissance Man and Poor Richard's Retirement and, you know, Bachelor Pad Economics, because this covers a lot of the same material. But if you find this book fascinating, then you might want to go buy some of his earlier books for a little bit more of a deeper dive into one particular topic or another. But this is a great, if you haven't read any of Aaron's previous books, this is a really good kind of first book to get. If you want to support Aaron, and just, you know, he does support me. He sponsors my show. So I am biased. I do enjoy his books and I do enjoy his writing. But more importantly, I appreciate Aaron's example. Because in a world of a lot of fakers, a lot of these bullshit, you know, alpha male kind of posers who, you know, they hire hookers to pose with them on Instagram and they pose with rented Ferraris. You know, it's all rented. It's all bullshit. And they're trying to put themselves out there of like, oh, look at this lifestyle I'm living. I'm so rich. I have these attractive women hanging on me. I drive luxury cars and it's all fake. It's all fake. And they're trying to put themselves out there like they're this leader of man. They're this example of masculinity to aspire to, and it's all bullshit. But Aaron's the real deal. You know, he goes out and he just enjoys nature, does whatever the hell he wants, and just hangs out and does shit. You know, he's not trying to impress you. And that is honestly, at the end of the day, whether you call yourself a man going your own way or red pilled or whatever, you know, corner of the manosphere you hail from, I think all of us appreciate freedom and we appreciate authenticity. And Aaron Clary does have authenticity and he does value his freedom. Anyway, again, check out the Zero World Problems. Check out Aaron Clary's other books. But that's about it for me. Thank you very much for watching. This is Turd Flinging Monkey and we'll see you next time on Monkey Monkey Literature Club.